Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning to you. Coming up, we will get you started with playoff baseball and the Yankees staying alive in fantastic fashion in their playoff series against the Blue Jays in 20 minutes. LeBron wants you to get hammered, and Bengals fans are ready to oblige. Plus, we'll dive into my streaming corner in 40 minutes before we talk about the early games we like this week in the National Football League. I'm Jinx. She's Chelsea. It is a Wednesday. Chelsea, how you doing? Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. What a night in baseball, huh? And it was great for me because I finally got to spend some time with my husband, who was gone all weekend at that stupid baseball tournament. So it was nice to have things like back to normal, because I don't know if you're like this, but when things are like kind of thrown out of your routine where you're doing more, it just kind of sucks. So it was nice to have him back and have like our family time, have my normal schedule, get a nap during the day. So I am feeling refreshed.
Oh, that's a good thing. Yeah, I'm sort of a creature of habit for sure. Like, I definitely have my routine that I get into, and when I get out of that routine, then I get kind of discombobulated and don't feel right. And my routines are good for people in general. Some people like to go, you know, maybe sort of outside their lanes on a regular basis, but I kind of like having a little bit of structure.
Yeah, I think for me, it's like when I don't get good sleep, everything else just kind of falls off. Because I am somebody who needs to work out to not be a crazy person. So when I'm too tired to work out, I become a crazy person because I don't work out. Because I know people like to work out for vanity and health or whatever, but I feel like it is a great moment for me for an hour where I get to almost have like a meditative state where you don't think about anything else and you just do. So it's great that I got back to the gym yesterday as well.
That's a healthy thing. Before we get into our bets from last night and baseball, since we are talking baseball, how's Jake's baseball team? He's always on the road, so is the team at least performing?
They're too good. They're too good, Jake.
Oh, that's good.
It's not, though. It's not for me, because all these tournaments are like double elimination on the final day. So there is a chance. He texts me Sunday morning. He's like, okay, if we lose this game at noon, we're coming home. And I'm like, please lose, please lose, please lose. And then he texts me Sunday night. He's like, so we're in the championship game, and it's on Monday morning.
Whoa.
Who makes these tournaments? So I need them to start losing.
Well, that's what happens when you have a world-class manager as a husband, a skipper who's going to go on to great things. You know, what are you going to do? All right, but everybody's back together. That's a good thing. The nest is intact. Unfortunately, our bets not so great last night, but we only had one bet on the card each.
Yeah, neither of us really liked the slate, but we had a bet on something. Even though I feel like there was a good case to be made for Shane Bieber, starting pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays, over his outs prop yesterday. Listen, this was the elimination game where the Blue Jays could shut the door, and Shane Bieber was the Blue Jays' prize deadline acquisition where they traded for him for this very moment. And instead, he only gets 8 outs in this situation. He could not get an out. And Jenks, I'm watching this game, and he gets 2 strikes on every single batter. 0-2 count, it feels like, on every single guy up there. And he just can't get the put-away pitch, which is crazy for somebody who's been one of the more dominant pitchers in baseball when he was at his peak. But under 14.5 outs was the play. I had the over, so that was an out.
I took an L in hockey, had the Rangers on the three-way money line against the Pens, minus 134. The Pens win 3-0, but first game of the season, when you have a small sample size, things can kind of go ways you didn't anticipate. It happens. Dockster had the money line for the Mariners, minus 130 yesterday against the Tigers. The M's win 8-4. So for the week, you and I both 2-1, the Dockster 2-0 here on the BetMGM Network. It is great to have you with us on the Daily Tip. Well, we just mentioned it. How about we get into the weeds now with the Mariners beating the Tigers yesterday in Motown 8-4. The Mariners minus 130 on the money line, and the overhits total set at 7 and hook. That's when I should have played instead. The Mariners with 3 home runs in this game, but they saved the best one for last.
Ellis from. He sends one the other way. Well struck ball, deep left field, and gone. Raleigh's first of the playoffs, and it's 8-1 Seattle. They are feeling it.
The big dumper adds to the Mariners' total. FS1 with the highlight there. And this is after solo shots from Eugenio Suarez and J.P. Crawford. Seattle now finds itself 1-1 away from its first ALCS since 2001. They are right there, and they look like they just have outclassed Detroit for most of the series. I don't know if they close it out today, but it's clear who the better team is. That's not always how it works out in playoff baseball, but just watching this game, you got that sense. The Mariners are the team that deserve to move on, even though they haven't done it yet.
Right. This felt like a game that was more true to the numbers, because the first two games of the series were extremely close. Both of those games decided by one run, and they were lower scoring. But for the entirety of the regular season, the Mariners had the best offense in baseball, especially over the last month. I think they were number one in baseball in every offensive category, at least the big ones. Then you look at the Tigers' offense, it's been absolutely pedestrian, and that's why, you know, they were fighting for their playoff lives in September. So this is one that just looked more like the team's identities that were ahead of us. So maybe we will see more of the same, and we will see more of this offense that has propelled Seattle to this position. But also, they started Jack Flaherty for the Tigers, which we knew was not their most trustworthy starter.
Knew it. I talked about the over. I like the over. I like the over. Did I bet the over? No, I didn't. Also, am I underselling the Tigers? Double D made a good point in the chat, which is if the Tigers win today, and I think they could win today, have Casey Mize on the mound taking on Bryce Miller for the M's, then all of a sudden, maybe Scooball's back in the mound for Detroit? Are we not giving the Tigers enough credit? I just feel like the Mariners will find a way and the Tigers' bats will go cold or something.
Well, here's the thing. Like, from our perspective, since we are a betting show, I am going to give people the side that has the most ammo on it. I can't just come on here and be like, hey, my gut feeling is that the Tigers' offense is going to be good today, because there's just no logic behind it. Do you get what I'm saying? So it's just the numbers are bearing out that the Mariners are the better overall offense by a wide margin. And you could say that, hey, Casey Mize can have a good day pitching. But like the Tigers, it's just, do I want to bet on a team that feels like they can only win games that are won by a score of 3-2? They almost lost the game that Tarik Skubal pitched against the Guardians because they can't score any runs.
Yeah. I'm worried about today. And we'll talk about these in the second hour when we go over our baseball bets, because we have a ton of games on the card today for playoff baseball. And the Tigers are slight favorites today at minus 115, but Bryce Miller has not been good for the Mariners this season. He's been hit up a lot towards the end of the season. So if the Tigers can get to him, I think they can make this a series, which sounds crazy to say, but I feel like in the end, kind of like you, like the Mariners can't lose this series. They're too good. They're the better club. But we will find out shortly. And that game this afternoon in Motown, game 4 between the Mariners and the Tigers. All right, let's get to the showcase game last night. What a game this was, with the Yankees down the Blue Jays 9-6 in the Boogie Down Bronx. The Yankees minus 150, total set at 7 and a hook. The Blue Jays look like they might romp early. They jump out to a 6-1 lead, but the Yankees storm back with 2 in the third. They make it 6-3, and then Aaron Judge ignites the Bronx in the fourth.
Two-strike pitch. Hits a drive down the line. If it's Ferentz's moment, it is! It's tied! Judge has arrived!
What a call on FS1. Incredible scene in the Bronx. Tying the game at 6, and then in the fifth, the hits keep coming.
There's a drive to deep right field. New York leads for the first time in the series. Judge Chisholm goes deep.
Yes, he does. The Yankees score 8 unanswered runs and take advantage of a couple of Toronto miscues. New York with its largest comeback ever in an elimination game to stay alive. And man, you talk about electric atmospheres. This was it. It was lit.
Oh, absolutely. Yankee Stadium had to be rocking after this comeback win because listen, Jenks, statistically, this was one of the craziest things to happen in the MLB postseason, at least in this round. Teams who had previously been 0-38 in MLB postseason history went down by 5 runs or more and in danger of being swept in a multi-game series. 0-38, and the Yankees just did that last night. So what a character-building win and a resilient win from the Yankees and a signature moment from Aaron Judge. Because remember going into this postseason, Aaron Judge had not been one of those legends in October. And when you play for the Yankees, your legend is built in the postseason. This is an organization that has such pedigree that you can do all these regular season things and it's well and good. You know, Aaron Judge still will have a legacy there, but the real legacy is built in October. And last night, that was it for Aaron Judge.
I mean, it's one thing to perform in the postseason, and it's quite another to do so with such flair, which he did last night. So this is from Max Goodman, who covers the Yankees for NJ.com. And he was talking about that pitch that Judge hit. So Louis Varlam was on the mound for the Blue Jays, and this is an 0-2 pitch way inside. And Judge just turns on it in such a way, still gets the barrel of the bat on it, and somehow that ball stays fair. A monster shot. And overall in this series, he has been so good. Like, all the pressure was on him to finally step up. And he's done it in a big moment. So in this series, 7 of 11, 5 RBI, 3 walks, and one of those signature moments where not just a huge moment for him because they needed that so badly, but also it was the type of home run it was where there's just not many people on the planet who could make a swing like that and still hit it out of the park.
Right, and as good as he's been in the postseason, it's been mostly singles. Like, he's hitting 500 this postseason, which is crazy, but only 6 RBI, and that's including last night. So I think we were all waiting for one of those moonshots and one of those home runs that just silences the other team. So, you know, for Aaron Judge, somebody, and go do yourself a favor and look at MLB's homepage today. It's Aaron Judge putting down his bat, like, after he hits the home run, and he is just towering over Alejandro Kirk of the Blue Jays. And that's kind of what you expect from Aaron Judge. He looks like a superhero.
Is there anything better than a clutch postseason home run to give your team the lead when the crowd is just anticipating, especially in front of a rabid home crowd at a classic venue like a Yankee Stadium, where, you know, the best hitter in the game, or arguably the best hitter in the game, is at the plate and guys are on. And everyone thinks, God, if he could just send this out of the park, this would be amazing. And then he does it. Like, there's just something about that one-on-one matchup and the anticipation, and then it comes through, that is truly one of the greatest things you can experience in sports, even if you're not a baseball fan. Like, if you watch that, you'd be like, that's pretty awesome. Whatever's happening there is amazing. And, of course, if you're a baseball fan, it's, you know, it's otherworldly. This was a signature moment for Judge.
Right, and he's the captain. You know, he is the face of their franchise. So it was cool to see him do this. And I'll say this. Like, I know a lot of people don't root for the Yankees. They're not certainly the underdogs much. But Aaron Judge feels like a very likable guy. And here's the other thing about this game last night. I feel like Yankees fans in particular are very cynical. And it was very easy to be cynical coming into this game. You're down 0-2 in the series. You were down 6-1 in this game. And it felt like Aaron Boone left Carlos Rodon in this game too long. And so I think some credit is deserved to the players to stay in this game, because you just got to chip away at the lead, and that's exactly what they did. And, Jakes, it's funny that Louis Varlam gave up this big home run to Aaron Judge, because I was looking at MLB.com. Guess who's starting the next game?
Yeah.
Louis Varlam. We got to play some Aaron Judge props.
He said, what did he say after the game? He said something to the effect of, this was a great pitch that Aaron Judge made look bad. Like, this was a solid pitch. It was way inside on an 0-2 count. I was trying to push him off the plate, but only Aaron Judge can make a swing like that and make me look bad, is essentially what he was saying. And you know what? He's not wrong. But I saw that too, and I'm like, oh. I mean, this is going to be a pure bullpen game for the Blue Jays today. John Schneider said as much after the game. It's all hands on deck. They don't have Kevin Gausman available. They don't have Max Scherzer available. So the Blue Jays are going all in on their pen. I really like the Yankees today. And also, the Yankees are going with Cam Schlittler And this guy has been just nails. He was electric the last time he pitched. So there's a real chance the Yankees can get back in this thing.
Oh, absolutely. If I am a Blue Jays fan, I am sweating bullets right now. Because think about it. Like, the momentum that the Yankees now have, when they look like they were dead and in a coffin, and they just come out like the Undertaker and say, "We're back. Aaron Judge is leading us to the promised land." So it's one of those things where it's crazy how the first two games of the series, it was absolute domination by the Blue Jays. But I said this on the show before. It does not matter how many runs you win by. That does not carry over. So now the Blue Jays are sitting with a lot of pressure on them, because if they blow this series, it is going to look like a huge choke job.
Yeah, I kind of hate myself that I didn't bet on one of these games after going back and forth. I mean, Judge is going nuts. The Mariners are losing their minds at the plate, and I'm like, ooh, looks like the Pens might upset the Rangers in game one. That's not good. Come on, Giants, get it together. What am I doing? Come on, next in the show.
Hindsight's 2020.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Coming up, LeBron isn't retiring, but he is ready to help you get drunk and watch the NBA. That is coming up next on the Daily Tip. It is here on the BetMGM Network. Hope you're having a great morning. Come on back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Today, please gamble responsibly.
It's a Wednesday. Thanks for waking up with us. I'm Jinx, she's Chelsea. It is a Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Coming up on the show, let's all get drunk with LeBron. Why not? So yesterday I went to the dentist. So it was both good and bad. I've talked about my journey with my dentist on the show quite a bit. So, the woman that normally cleans my teeth was not there yesterday. Thank God, it was such a win. I had the most pleasant woman come in. She was so nice. I met her before, had a quick conversation, and then she didn't talk the entire time while she's cleaning my teeth. You know, like, she wants to have a conversation. I'm like, ma'am, there's a metal prong scraping up against my teeth. I'm not going to speak right now. So, that was nice, all well and fine. Then my dentist comes in, and of course, I had drinks with him a few months ago, right? And the first thing out of his mouth is, he goes, "How's the podcast going?" And I was like, that always annoys me when people say podcast. I'm like, well, I never say it. Like, well, it's not a podcast, but whatever. I'm like, it's fine. It's going well. And he goes, "Did you use my suggestion from last time? Did you use my suggestion where I said that at the end of every show, you should probably talk about something that people are betting on, like some sort of obscure sport? You know, like cricket or like badminton or something?" And I was not ready for that. And oh my God, I'm such an idiot. I was like, yeah. We talked about it yesterday. And I was like, Michael, what are you doing? I didn't know how to get out of it, which we did not talk about that yesterday. We haven't talked about it in months. But he's definitely hell-bent on us having a segment at the end of the show where we discuss very, very, you know, obscure sports. I mean, he really wants this segment to take place.
I feel like this is like an episode of like Seinfeld, where like you promise something to the dentist. Like, doesn't it feel like it would be in a sitcom?
Yes.
Where now like your whole world revolves around this lie, and it just keeps snowballing to where like people at work are asking like, why did Jenks just take this sharp U-turn into cricket betting? And it's like, well, now there's extra pressure on him at work. What am I going to do? I can't tell a lie now. So, Jenks, now you're Jerry Seinfeld in this scenario.
I got to get out. Even the lovely Catherine's like, why are you still going to the dentist? And he's a nice guy, so I don't want to frame it the wrong way. But it is weird when someone's like, did you take my suggestion for your show? Like someone who has
no sportscasting, radio, media experience, who probably doesn't even follow sports a whole lot, saying this is what you should do for your show. It's a little odd. And so...
Well, backstory here. Is this the dentist you went out for drinks with?
Yeah.
It's not like you guys are just work buds. Like, you have extracurricular activity.
That's true.
Sounds bad. You know what I mean.
Yes. Remember when he was like, so I was looking at your Wikipedia page. You've done a lot. Why you, though? I was like, huh? He's like, why you? Like, why do you get to do this? I was like, I mean, I studied it. I've done this for almost 30 years now. He's like, but anybody can talk about sports. I'm like, well, sort of. So, I don't know. Maybe this is not a friendship I should continue. But even the lovely Kath was like, you should find a new dentist. Like, seriously. Find a new dentist. And also, he doesn't take your insurance anymore. So... this is the perfect reason to pivot in a different direction, which I think I'm going to do now.
That, or you just Google a bunch of things about dentistry and start giving him suggestions. Be like, why you? Why do you get to work on people's teeth? And he's going to be like, because I went to school. And you're like, wow, same reason for me.
Wow. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make a random suggestion like he made to me. I'm going to go, did you open that dance club Molars with a Z that I suggested? I'm like, what? I'm like, yeah. Be cool, right? Like a teeth-themed dance club? I'd be like, why is this guy? This is a terrible suggestion. I'd be like, correct. It is. Also terrible. LeBron's ad. We talked about it yesterday. Come on. The second decision. He did not retire. As we thought. You know, we sort of scoped this out yesterday. Now, I did think it was going to be Amazon Prime. He was going to partner with them. No. The second decision was a Hennessy ad. So it's a collab that features a limited edition bottle, and so many people who are Lakers fans thought this might be a retirement announcement, that the prices for LeBron's last home game this season just went through the roof. So he got the ticket prices jacked up, and at the end of the day, did a pretty lame ad talking about Hennessy. Ugh, so lame.
Big eye roll here. Like, again, I think we guessed this, that it was going to be some sort of ad. But, like, for Hennessy, I feel like LeBron barely even drinks. Like, he's somebody who takes care of his body. Like, maybe he does drink Hennessy. I don't know. It's just, I was heavily disappointed by this. And the fact that they didn't use J.R. Smith in this ad, somebody who I feel like drinks Hennessy all the time. Like, his former teammate, who I felt like was almost drunk at the time. Remember, he didn't know, like, how many seconds were left on the clock and like, the NBA Finals or something. But I did see where, did you see where J.J. Redick was talking to the media about this and said, you guys are idiots for thinking that it was anything to do with retirement. And it's like, he framed it that way. He knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah, I understand that you need to pump the brakes on immediately going out and buying tickets, but he framed it this way for a reason. Like, the idea that, oh, it's your fault. Like, no, it's not. LeBron knew exactly what he was doing. Like, he did this. They called it the second decision. Like, it's always easier to say after the fact, oh, you should have known. Should we have? Would you put it past LeBron James to actually sit down and announce his retirement? No, you would not. It's absolutely something he would do. We've seen it before. So they framed it this way to have all the eyeballs turn on what this might be. And then J.J. Redick has the audacity to come out and say, oh, well, you're dumb. Like, no, we're not. He's done this before. And also, we're in 2025. I mentioned this yesterday. We saw Snoop Dogg do this last year. In an era where everything is promoted, there are all sorts of collabs, and people are always paying attention to what big names and celebrities are doing online, you never know what it's going to be. I mean, you have musical artists who will tease their next album, or maybe it's some sort of partnership. You just never know. It's the age in which we live.
I think I was more disappointed by the fact that it was like a Hennessy ad, because I would have like at least kind of respected it if it was something to do with either Amazon or, I don't know, like the NBA coming back to NBC, or something that was like league tangent, where there was like some connecting factor, because for Amazon, I believe Amazon Prime is picking up NBA games as well. And so he's promoting the league in which he plays in. Like, that makes sense to me. But Hennessy, I would have never guessed that.
Cognac?
He also has his own alcohol brand. Which is why I would have not guessed Hennessy either. He has, I don't know if it's a cognac or a vodka, but he has, it's called Four Lobos. So he has his own alcohol brand, and now he's partnering with his new alcohol brand for the second decision, which I am apparently dumb to J.J. Redick, but J.J. Redick is the smartest guy in every room he's in. Just ask him. But I'm apparently dumb to J.J. Redick because I thought that the second decision would be used for retirement.
Yeah.
You know how much money is in the IP for the second decision? Like, that's honestly bad business move on him unless they gave him $1 billion.
So wait a second. LeBron's company is Four Lobos instead of Four Loco?
Yeah.
That's funny. I didn't realize that. For Hennessy must have paid him out the wazoo. I mean, God knows how much money he made off of this.
I guess it's just Lobos, not Four Lobos, but
Lobos? Okay.
Yeah, it's tequila.
Okay. Lobos, that's better. If he went Four Lobos after Four Loco, I'd have been like, maybe rethink that. Okay, that's better. Still, I did not like this. Like Hennessy, come on.
What is a lobo? Is that a wolf in Spanish?
Yeah.
I feel like it's something in Spanish.
Wolf? It is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You got it.
Clearly a Spanish authority. We had something in college called Cueva de Lobos, and it was the best Mexican place. It was like American Mexican. It was like, here is meat and cheese, and it's a quesadilla. And you're like, wow, that's amazing. And it was like $2. So that's the only reason I know that.
Well, that's pretty awesome. $2 for that kind of meal? My God, it's like Taco Bell level. That's what makes Taco Bell so good. Yeah, because it's so cheap. You're like, I can't believe I'm getting all this food for like $5. Mm. Speaking of cheap, how about the Bengals trading for Joe Flacco yesterday? So the Bengals have Joe Flacco and a sixth-round pick from the Browns, who get a fifth-round pick in return. Joe Flacco has thrown for 2 touchdowns, 6 picks this season. This was the reaction yesterday on 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh.
The Bengals are trading for quarterback Joe Flacco. What?
What?
The Bengals are trading for Flacco, according to Rap Sheet.
Holy ostrich milk. What? Where? Okay.
That's crazy.
Are you sure that's a real account?
It's real. Confirmed by Pelissero as well. Mike, that's not who I expected.
Me neither. What do you think of that? You get first dibs on that one. Joe Flacco to the Bengals.
Well, I think that Jake Browning's clearly not the answer, so they need to do something. Yeah. I was sitting there during Sunday's game watching it, and the broadcasters were talking about how so much of the offense was built around the deep ball. And I was just about to answer your question, Joe, saying, yeah, I think your idea of Russell Wilson makes a tremendous amount of sense. But I mean, I think at this point they're in desperation mode. And the bottom line is this with the Bengals, they're Joe Burrow and a bunch of other people.
Holy ostrich milk. That was my reaction.
Hmm.
Chelsea, is there anyone cheaper than the Bengals? What are you guys doing? Joe Flacco signed a 1-year, $4 million deal with the Browns in the offseason. $3 million of that is a signing bonus, already paid. So this is a dirt cheap veteran quarterback, way past his prime, that you're bringing in to take over for Jake Browning. It's like, Jake Browning can't get the job done. Let's bring in someone else who also can't get the job done. I don't know. The Bengals are in Green Bay this weekend. They're 14-point underdogs. This did not move the needle at all. If you're Cincinnati, this is almost like, let's pretend to care. Let's make everyone think that we care, but we really don't care. You're bringing in Joe Flacco. You're bringing in Joe Flacco. I like Joe Flacco. Solid pro. Super Bowl MVP at one time. Maybe elite in Baltimore. But he's clearly sort of hanging on to his career, and this is the guy you bring in? Holy ostrich milk.
Holy ostrich milk is right. Especially with this offensive line. And how old is Joe Flacco? He is not exactly, short of the tooth. He's 40 years old. He's not fleet of foot either. Like, he, behind that offensive line, it feels like borderline elder abuse. Because he's going to get absolutely rocked back there. And maybe they can fashion their offense in the likes of, remember, like, Ben Roethlisberger's last year in the league? Where he threw those passes of, like, 2.3
yards.
Where he just got the ball out really quickly. Like, maybe that's the offense that you'll have to have when your offensive line is so bad and your quarterback isn't mobile. But the thing is, like, you have all these deep ball weapons. Why didn't you just get Jameis Winston? For the love of everybody else who has to watch these dumb games, we would have all rather had Jameis. I feel like it wouldn't have been that expensive. At least you're going to score some touchdowns, because that's the only way they're going to win games is in shootouts. Their defense still isn't good, and their offensive line is bad. So you need somebody who's a little younger than Joe Flacco. So I don't think this is going to change much when it comes to the Bengals.
Jameis would have been fire. And when we were listening to, 93.7 The Fan, and they were saying, look, the Bengals offense, which makes perfect sense, is predicated on the deep ball and Jamar Chase. Jameis has a cannon. Like, he can throw it. He can throw a great deep ball. This would be perfect. Why not go after a guy like him who can still get you some dubs? Joe Flacco is not going to come in at this point in his career and start stacking dubs for the Bengals. Like, it actually makes the situation worse. I would rather go with Jake Browning, honestly.
I mean, there's something to be said for a crafty veteran quarterback. And we have, you know, looked down our noses at Joe Flacco before, but also he's had some good head coaches. And, you know, I think the offensive line is the main problem for me. It's just not a good fit for Joe Flacco. I do think it's cool that he is very close to completing the full AFC North bingo card. All he needs is the Steelers. I mean, what an accomplishment that would be. And I guess it's a testament to how long he has been floating around the league. So we'll see. I don't know if it'll be pretty. And I think as a mom, it's going to be hard for me to watch him just take all these terrible hits behind the line of scrimmage. Good luck, Bengals. You're going to need it.
Bengals to make the playoffs, yes, plus 750. No is minus 1,200. They're not making the playoffs. I mean, I'm not laying $1,200 to make $100, but also they're not making the playoffs. Like, I am stunned by this. I cackled when I saw this. Like, okay, what are you guys doing?
But, Jenks, they're second in the AFC North. That's the craziest part in all of it.
I know.
Like, the AFC North is so bad.
It's so bad.
They have a chance at the division.
Isn't it crazy how quickly things change in the NFL? Like, we're talking about how bad the AFC North is all of a sudden. Like, that's kind of crazy to think about, right? So here we are 5 weeks in, and it's like, wow, the AFC North's terrible. Like, how did that happen?
The Ravens.
Yeah.
The Ravens are supposed to be the last of the division. And they're the absolute dumpster fire of the division. Maybe I misspoke. The Browns are 1-4 as well. So you have the Steelers 3-1, Bengals 2-3, Ravens 1-4, Browns 1-4. Sure. God, the Steelers have it made.
Mike Tomlin. They are going to have to wheel Mike Tomlin away from the Steelers facility. He's just never leaving. And Steelers fans are like, you've got to be kidding me. This guy just, he won't leave. He won't leave. Coming up next here on the show, we're going to take a quick break from the NFL and tell you which series should be avoided at all costs. Streaming Corner next here on The Daily Tip.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jake, she's Chelsea. It's Wednesday, streaming corner time. You know I like true crime, and I've got a series that should be put to death immediately. I usually come on with things that I like. This is something I absolutely hated. Hated. Here's a nightmare. North Carolina has scrapped plans for their Hulu series to cover their football program and Bill Belichick. This is after their 2-3 start. So this was supposed to come on the heels of HBO's Hard Knocks. That was supposed to happen over the summer. That got scrapped. And remember, it was the reports that Jordan Hudson wanted sort of all of these creative liberties. And so HBO was like, no, we're not going to do it then. And Carolina denied that. But now this other series, which was also planned, is gone as well. Doesn't it feel like we're just watching North Carolina football and Bill Belichick just sort of piece by piece fall apart right in front of us? Jordan Hudson is going to be out of Chapel Hill and dating someone her age within 3 months.
Jenks, I keep thinking that maybe we're making a bigger deal of this than it actually is, but I don't think we are.
No.
I don't think we're making a big enough deal. Like, this feels like an absolute implosion. Every single thing that's came out of Carolina just feels like an absolute disaster. Like, we were talking about it yesterday. WRAL came out with, like, a hit piece basically on all the parents filing complaints about the program, and now you have this. And I don't know how production crews work, but can you just call it off halfway through a series?
Yeah.
Because we've seen seasons of Hard Knocks, in-season Hard Knocks, where teams have had disastrous finishes. I remember we watched the season for the Carolina Panthers where they lost 8 games in a row, but they still had the film crew there. So I don't know how this works, because imagine you don't know much about sports and you work in production and you're called to work on this project. And like, hey, we're going to pay you. We're going to start this project. And then halfway through, they're like, hey, so they're losing games, so we can't film it. What? Like, that's not normally how it works, is it?
No, I think that... Look, going in, everything was coming up aces for Carolina. I mean, they put a lot of money into this. There were the Chapel Bill shirts. They had this sold-out stadium for their first home game. Everything's great until you start playing the game. And so Carolina was planning this, like, this is going to be a boon for the program or a basketball school, but we can finally elevate the football program, which has only had its moments, you know, from time to time over the years, generally under Mack Brown and his first stint at Carolina. But now that things have fallen apart, like from a viewership perspective, I'll watch a train wreck. I would love to see what's going on in Carolina.
I want to watch this.
Yes, absolutely. At first, I thought, who wants to watch? I'm like, I want to. You want to watch, Michael? I want to watch.
That's reality TV.
Yeah.
But Carolina does. Reality TV is train wrecks.
Yeah, like, but Carolina doesn't want you to watch. Carolina does not want you to see. This was supposed to be, look at this legend turning our program around. Look at Jordan over here. She's tweeting something. You know, it was supposed to be Carolina is on a winning streak. Carolina is a dark horse. Carolina is on the come up. And now it's, oh, we're going to be a laughing stock. This is a disaster. This is not going as planned. And we don't want people to see that, because long term, that's bad for the program. Like, imagine you put all this money, you spend time and money in the portal, you have all of this celebratory, you know, media coverage, everything that comes with this, and you're ready to take off, and then it falls apart. So you can't lean into that if you're Carolina, because now it's, what are we going to do? How are we going to reclimate things? Are we going to oust him? How are we going to turn things around? Like, they're scrambling, so the last thing you want is more attention on that as opposed to what they thought was going to happen.
Oh, absolutely. And I think this is why sports are great, because you can't count your chickens before they hatch. You still have to play the games.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how legendary your coach is. You still have to go out there and score more points than the other team. So it's wild how, like, they were celebrating, you know, a winning season before he even set foot on the field. And especially for Jordan Hudson, who filed trademarks for all of these things. And now I feel like people would be buying them, like, to be, you know, ironic. Right?
Yeah.
It's like the hipsters are like, ooh, Chapel Bill. I can't wait to get my t-shirt to make fun of Bill Belichick. So I don't know. It feels like a thing where I don't want to say they jinx it, but like, let's cool it before we put somebody on a pedestal before they even win a game.
Well, this is the worst case scenario for her, right? She's been buying up real estate in Chapel Hill. She's been waiting for more positive media attention to come her way. She's filed these trademarks. She wants to sell jewelry. And where is she? Like, in the wind. Like, what's she going to say? What's she going to say? She can't write his coattails right now.
She's going to write a tell-all book, Jenks. Or she's going to like, on The Bachelor. Like, don't you see this coming from a mile away? Like, she is going to parlay this into something else. Like, if this doesn't work out... Usually people who are the social climbers, they don't take no for an answer.
Yeah.
She will find another route, whether it's Bill Belichick or Dancing with the Stars, which I know she already turned down. But Dancing with the Stars is pretty desperate. So if she wants to go on next year, I bet she could.
Oh, I bet you're right about a book, too. It'll be called Carolina Blues, or Tar Heel, like she's the heel. People don't
the Jordan
like
rules.
Oh yeah, there's another good one. Oh my God, so many possibilities.
Oh. She's already trademarked it, I bet. I'm like, there sure has she to be some spin on like Michael Jordan, Jordan Hudson, and I hate that.
Oh. It'll be Air Jordan, but Air is H E I R.
God.
God, we're terrible.
I hate this.
Oh, we got to move on. So let's find something we can all stream together.
What are you watching?
We enter Jenk's Streaming Corner, where Jenk and Chelsea tell you what should and should not be streaming here on the Daily Tip.
What are you watching?
Oh, do I have a disaster of a series for you guys to avoid? And it's all over Netflix right now. Monster, the Ed Gein story. Avoid this at all costs. So this is from producer Ryan Murphy. And going back, he's done everything, right? He's done Nip Tuck. He's done American Horror Story. He did Dahmer. He did the Lyle and Eric Menendez story. All these different things. And Ed Gein is someone who inspired Psycho, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Silence of the Lambs. It's an interesting story, but he actually was more of a grave robber than anything else. He definitely liked human skin. There's no question about that. But they take this guy's story, and it is all over the place. It is so bad and so boring. It stars Charlie Hunnam from Sons of Anarchy and Laurie Metcalf as well. It is terrible. Like, it starts off on his story, which really isn't nearly as deep a story as a lot of infamous serial killers. And then it goes into maybe his inspiration and then grave robbing. And then also, like, how did he influence Psycho? Let's remake that. What about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre? Let's do some scenes from that. What about Silence of the Lambs? We are about an episode and a half in, and a lovely character was with me. She's like, I want to watch this. I'm like, yeah, I'm with you. And I go, I think this is bad. Like, this is really bad. How many episodes is this? And so we paused it. I'm like, eight? It's eight episodes? I was like, honey, I think I got to check out. So I had not looked at the reviews. I looked at the headlines yesterday. I'm like, maybe it's me. Because sometimes, and the reviews aren't everything, but you know, sometimes you'd like to get a feel on how everyone else feels. These are some of the quotes from the headlines reviewing this. It's awful. This show is a disaster. Worse than trash. Shockingly bad. As horrific as a wet fart. Even Ed Gein doesn't want you to watch. Like, across the board, it is messy. It is boring. It has no focus. Avoid it at all costs. Stop making these series, Ryan Murphy. Dahmer was good, and progressively they've started to fall off a cliff. It's awful.
Okay, so I actually looked into this because I liked Sons of Anarchy, and Charlie Hunnam is not bad to look at. And I did see the trailer for this, and I was like, wow, this guy is ripped. Like, so I don't know if Ed Gein or whatever was like some really attractive guy, but I heard people talking about this to where Ryan Murphy loves to like either sexualize or like, you know, put something into these killers to where people fall in love with them. Like, he likes to glamorize these people who are monsters. So I don't know if that like came through in like the few episodes that you watch, but like the trailer is literally like Charlie Hunnam looking very attractive, and you're like, wow, is this the basis of the story? It's like, no, the guy that this was based on was like not somebody who was popular. And I will say, in the face, he does kind of look like him, so it was a good casting there. It's just the sexualization of all these like really terrible criminals, I feel like that's kind of weird.
Well, the thing is that it's so self-indulgent. And this is, you see this from time to time with producers, directors, and they kind of fall in love with their own work and their own themes.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm not offended watching something that is, you know, egregious or over-sexualized, but it becomes funny to me. I'm like, oh, we're 5 minutes in. Autoerotic asphyxiation. Awesome. Like you immediately pivoted as soon as you could to something sexual, which, again, I don't care, but it's so obvious that you couldn't wait to get something that was kind of shocking. Do you know what I mean? Like, you couldn't wait to get to that. And then, you know, Charlie Hunnam is half naked at one point. Like, this is all in the first episode. I'm like, you could not wait to get to this. And which is fine if it's a part of the story, But he takes things and he exaggerates them for shock value or because he appreciates the sexual aspect, whatever it is. But when it starts to really rip away at the actual story, that's when I have a problem with it.
Yeah, I don't like having shock value for the sake of having shock value. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like just trying to be completely bizarre for no reason that doesn't even make sense for the story. Because didn't you have this same like kind of criticism of, what is it, the Menendez brothers?
Yeah, stopped,
it,
yeah.
Wasn't that by him too?
Yeah. And Dahmer was awesome. And it actually had some social commentary, like the reason why these murders weren't really investigated was because, you know, of the gay scene in Milwaukee at the time, and police officers didn't take it seriously. There was a lot to it. Like, it had a lot of meat to it. Mm-hmm. And then Lyle and Eric Menendez got way out there. And if you look at the actual story, it's like some of this stuff is not true. Like, you're taking something and you're making it so over the top, this definitely didn't happen, or you're glamorizing it to the point that, again, you're sort of ripping away at the fabric of what really happened here. And this is the most egregious example of that. Stay away from Ed Gein, which is, you know, the advice that people gave back in the day. Stay away from this guy. Coming up next, it's a Wednesday. Never too early to talk NFL games and the ones that we like. That is next, hour two on The Daily Tip.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly, you know, what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland, you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.